know, the words to this song sometimes become more and more interesting each day and night as we move forward. Welcome to a Thursday night edition of The Flip Side. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett, for the evening. As always on Thursdays, Robbie's got the evening off. You're listening to this program live on the Republic Broadcasting Network in all its various different forms. Glad to have you here. Also, our good friends over at WHRI. So, glad to have you with us. But I listened to the words to this song, Can You Hear It? No, I don't mean the words to the song, so to speak, but those are some of the words to the song. Can you hear it? 8 days of the most insane so-called news reporting that I've ever heard. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen enough? Have you heard enough? And more importantly, have you had enough? What is the real reason for the importance being placed on the so-called Mel Gibson news story? Aren't we at war in Iraq? What happened to the missile crisis in North Korea? The impending doom in Iran, or the murderous firestorm being perpetrated by Israel against her purported enemies in the Middle East? Well, later in this program tonight, we're going to open up lines for your input and your commentary. Pastor Chuck Baldwin, in his latest column issued today, opens the column by stating, the Hollywood elite have had it in for Mel Gibson for quite a while. First, he abandoned their pension for promoting big government by starring in a truer than most want to admit movie thriller entitled Conspiracy Theory. He then further alienated Hollywood leftists by starring in the hugely popular Vietnam War movie We Were Soldiers. And I'm sure Mel's wonderful movie about America's fight for independence, The Patriot, didn't sit too well with them either. But unfortunately, Gibson provided the Hollywood elite the hammer and the nails they needed to crucify him, specifically after his 2004 blockbuster, The Passion of the Christ, was released. And of course now we've been bombarded with 8 days of conversations about Mel Gibson's DUI, driving under the influence, and his alleged tirade, with references to a particular people's. Well, it was foolish conduct or misconduct, but that's what the enemies were looking for. And now they're attacking him with a vengeance. And it's taken over everything on television. It is simply amazing. I don't care if you go to news shows, entertainment shows, everybody's got to bring the update on the Mel Gibson fiasco. Matter of fact, he's now been castigated by almost everyone in the industry, and there's good reason for it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he used a particular three-letter word, my friends. It has to do with the fact that Mel Gibson no longer needs Hollywood. The man's become bigger than Hollywood. Thank God. Stay with us, because this is not going to be pleasant. It'll be quite a different program this evening. We'll be back after these messages.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
We're going to move away from this music a little bit more rapidly this evening. Our good friend Willie Edwards, a dollar in, a dollar out. This hour, the flip side, most commonly known as the Robbie Noel Show. And if you go to the RBN archives, you'll still see it listed as the Robbie Noel Show. That's something we're working on getting changed. This program, of course, is sponsored almost entirely by the Republic Trading Group. And you know where to find us online, republictradinggroup.com. For the rest of you who are maybe just joining us, you are listening to The Flip Side. I'm the Thursday night host, Jeffrey Bennett. And you are listening to this program live at www.rbnlive.com. That, of course, is Republic Broadcasting Network. You may hear us on the shortwave on frequency 5.05 megahertz, also simulcast at World Harvest Radio at 7.490. So if you are having a difficult time hearing 5050, you're not getting as strong a signal as you've been accustomed to, we do invite you to flip over to 7.490. Let us know how much clearer it may or may not be coming in. Certainly, we can be heard on the C-band satellite, Galaxy 1R transponder, etc. You'll find it all on the website, ladies and gentlemen. Let us move forward. My opening comments from the words of Pastor Chuck Baldwin's latest column dealing with what I'm calling this program tonight. Daniel, please take notes. The Crucifixion of Mel Gibson, Part 2. Of course, Part 1 was 2 years ago, when with the release of his film, The Passion of the Christ. Writing today for WorldNet Daily, a woman who happens to be a Jew, whose name is Judith Reisman, has written a column that I think everybody in America needs to hear. Number one, I think it puts the nonsense of the Anti-Defamation League to death. It puts it to bed. Now, I personally am tired of these namby-pamby radio programs, both on the mainstream and the alternative, who are obviously pro-Israel, pro-Zionist. They would not, you know, it's like they're constantly, they refuse to apologize for the death and the mayhem and the destruction that is caused in many instances at the hands of Israel. Why does this one little tiny country and the people who control it, who in many cases are the same people who control much of what goes on in this nation. Why is it there is so much continual havoc over there in the Middle East? Well, Judith Reisman writes in her column today entitled, What If Mel Gibson Were a Porn Star? Think about that. What if Mel Gibson were a porn star? Now, just for a moment, who do you think is the main controlling factor in the pornography industry in this nation and around the world today? Let me suggest to you that they ain't Southern Baptists. Reisman goes on to ask, I'm sure actor Mel Gibson is relieved. And I am glad, she says. Abraham H. Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, has accepted Gibson's apology for railing about Jews during his recent drunk driving arrest. Foxman magnanimously said, Hey, this is the apology we had sought and requested. We are glad that Mel Gibson has finally owned up to the fact that he made anti-Semitic remarks, and his apology, it sounds sincere. We welcome his efforts to repair the damage he has caused, to reach out to the Jewish community, and to seek help. That is the only part of Foxman's quote that is being quoted on the mainstream news, ladies and gentlemen, because I've heard it over and over and over. But then, according to Reisman, Foxman, speaking like someone who really knows about weaknesses, generously adds that once Gibson gets the alcohol under control, quote, we would be ready and willing to help him with his second rehabilitation to combat this disease, a prejudice. Now that, Reisman says, is touching, really touching. But who, she asks, will rehabilitate the ADL for its disease? The dis-ease of aiding and abetting and the spread of hatred of women and children, a disease that creeps across our nation day by day? Who, if not pornographers, has been spreading the disease of sexual pathology to our most vulnerable and innocent children for decades? And who legitimizes and encourages and patronizes pornographic hate mongers, giving them credibility and honor? Is it Mel Gibson? Or is it Abraham Foxman and the Anti-Defamation League? Reisman continues, despite his money and success, Mel Gibson nearly killed himself and others in a drunken driving spree. Tragic, she says. But I pose this question to you as a friend of mine, and I spoke much earlier in the day, and he may be joining us later in the program. The comment that was brought up is, with all the fall farad that's going on television, all the discussion, and it's, oh my goodness, the anti-Semitic and the Jews and Abe Foxman and Mel Gibson, blah, 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 blah. Why is it no one has interviewed someone from Mothers Against Drunk Drivers? The whole thing is evolving around Mel Gibson's supposed comments. Now, I don't deny that he probably said them. Let us face it, my friends, who is behind the constant war against Mel Gibson? Now, ABC, of course, has decided to back out of a joint project with Mel Gibson's Icon Productions, which was supposed to do a mini-series dealing with what some people refer to as the Holocaust. Now, I don't know how Mel Gibson was going to approach the issue. Was he going to approach it as an apologist? Was he going to do it historically as we have been told about it the last 40, 50 years? Or was he going to take his father's approach and deny it? We don't know that. There seems to be no information out there, but Hollywood can't allow Mel Gibson to tell the story because it might counter the myths of the beloved Steven Spielberg, another non-Southern Baptist. And so Reisman continues, as a public figure, she's talking of Mel Gibson here and Abe Foxman, and one of obvious deep religious beliefs, it is good that Gibson apologized for his abusive remarks. We all hope he can somehow get that demon rum off his back. In some circles, it's called Who Had John. But while Gibson is not ever required to like all Jews, why do Foxman and the ADL refuse to apologize for loving pornographic hate mongers? And ladies and gentlemen, in my personal opinion, and we're not supposed to give those here, but we're doing it anyway. But in my personal opinion, this business of the ADL assisting in the promotion of pornography in a very roundabout way is quite interesting, because it's only the tip of the iceberg of what the ADL promotes. Don't they promote hate in their own manner? Go to WorldNet Daily today. I was totally amazed, because I've not been to this site in quite some time. It is amazing, the articles that are on there. Number one, over the last few days, that deal with the Mel Gibson situation. Certainly talking about the Middle East. Oh, don't forget, Israel could possibly be doing no wrong whatsoever in this new explosion of violence in the Middle East. Israel could not possibly be wrong. Oh, no, they were wrong. They were attacked. Yeah, and Germany attacked Poland first. Yeah, I heard that story too. Without even blushing, she continues, the hypocritical Anti-Defamation League recently gave U.S. Ambassador John Miller the same Torch of Freedom Award for battling trafficking in human persons that they gave to Hugh Hefner, whose Playboy empire led the traffic in human persons from December of 1953 to today. Remember, these are the words of Judith Reisman, the author of the piece. A Jew. Not to be outdone, the ADL awarded Christy Hefner, the expensively clothed madame of Daddy's Pornography Palace, a Champion of Freedom Award. What champs, one and all, Reisman says. Stepping aside a bit, she says, when I was in Israel researching the Israeli mass media, my aide and I went to the Anti-Defamation League in Jerusalem with samples of rape and torture magazine photos being broadcast throughout the nation as I laid out page after page of the full-color sadomasochistic images of women used to advertise various products. The ADL director could barely stifle his yawn. Many of the worst images, she says, were in the publication Monitin, a mix of Playboy and Life, a high-gloss monthly for the Israeli upper crust. Boasting a cadre of respected Israeli writers. Finally, Reisman says, I turned to the pages of a pseudo so-called Holocaust pornography photo essay. The background included a huge old World War II, supposedly an oven, World War II cattle trains and women in sexy lingerie running from potential rapists and killers. And the ADL director suddenly awoke from his trance. Why, this is the Holocaust! Monitin is exploiting the Holocaust to sell lingerie. Now, he would call the publisher a good friend of mine to protest. It goes on and on. I picked up my stack consisting of nearly 100 rape and torture photo advertisements sold across the counters in every kiosk in Israel, and I said, no, thank you, you go yourself. Frankly, none of this has much to do with any of it, so I'm just going to bypass this portion. I'm sorry I bored you with it. Reisman says, when the ADL apologizes for its continued support of pornographic hate mongers, for its support of anti-child, anti-woman, anti-Christian, and that was another key article in WorldNet Daily today, showing the constant harassing and haranguing of Christians in this country and around the world, much of it perpetrated by guess who? That's right, the non-Southern Baptists. When the ADL apologizes for its continued support of pornographic hate mongers, for its support of anti-child, anti-woman, anti-Christian, and anti-American hatred, I will be willing to help the ADL with its rehabilitation, according to Judith Reisman, a Jew. And she says that when the ADL gives awards to people who battle pornographic hate mongers, I will show up to cheer. Still, she concludes, I suspect Gibson has a better chance for rehabilitation than does the ADL. Man! Now that is a refreshing piece of writing. And how I found out about it was a good friend of mine down in Florida. And he and I were talking this morning, and he has had personal confrontations with Ms. Reisman. And they were not always pleasant. Because of this ongoing tug of war, this thousands of year old battle about between Christians and Jews. Remember something, ladies and gentlemen. Jew is not a religion. It is a race. And as I had this conversation with him this morning, I said to myself, you know, how many times have you had to go fill out a piece of paper, some government application, and they want to know your race? Are you Caucasian? Are you African-American? Are you Asian? Are you Native American? Are you, I don't know, Eskimo, whatever the case may be? But considering that Jew is a race, not a religion, although they've turned it into that, it makes me wonder, why is the word Jew never on the application? I remember reading a story some years ago about a couple of colored guys. This took place back in the 50s. They were called colored then. Negroes, blacks, Afro-Americans, walking down the street. And on the other side of the street, walking in the opposition, in the opposite direction, this took place in apparently New York. There were three people of lighter skin persuasion walking in the opposite direction on the other side of the street. And the one guy said to the other, "Hey man, there goes two white guys and a Jew." There goes two white guys and a Jew. You know, I don't want this program to be misunderstood. It's not designed to be what is openly referred to in the media as anti-Semitic. It is to raise some issues, raise some questions, raise a point. Jews are the only people in the world who have found hostility in every country in which they settled in any number. And the question I pose to you is why? Today, you see, it is taught in the schools that anti-Semitism began in Germany in the 1930s, after which they were deported. And yet what is not studied is the fact that at one time or another, Jews have been expelled from every nation in Europe. When Jews first began to immigrate to America, the early colonialists in New York, Charleston, Savannah, tried to ban their entry. Benjamin Franklin pleaded with the members of the Continental Congress to enter a specific ban against Jewish immigration into the U.S. Constitution to bar them for all time forever coming here. You see, as I began to mention earlier, the Jews claim that they are only a religion. But the truth, as I just mentioned, is that Jews are a race. Less than 30% are members of any synagogue, whether they are Orthodox religious, atheists, capitalists, or communists, they still claim to be Jews, members of the Jewish race. Every race has inherited traits. Now, in the case of the Jews, they include trading and money changing and usury and a loathing for productive labor, which is scorned as beneath the dignity of the Jews in their Bible, known as the Talmud. You see, Jews have not changed since the days when Jesus Christ took up a whip and drove the money changers from the temple. Jews have always united to form monopolies. And today they control all the department store chains and specialty shops, along with the lucrative jewelry and animal fur trade. Jews dominate the fields of all precious metals such as gold, silver, platinum, tin, and lead, and copper, etc., etc. And they will always band together to drive Gentile competitors out of business. Today, as always, America is being flooded with Jewish immigrants from Russia. 20,000 per year leave Israel and come here, all with dollar signs in their eyes. Jews have used their vaunted money power to seize control of the Democratic Party and constitute over 50% of all its financial contributions. Oh, don't kid yourself. They've taken pretty darn good control of the Republic Rat Party as well. The majority of these so-called neocons in the Bush administration happen to be Jews. Today, Jews are buying up more and more major U.S. companies, while only 3% of the population. Jews control over 25% of the nation's wealth, and this percentage rises each and every year. They're the only racial group totally organized to work for political domination of America. You see, opposition to the Jews did not begin in Germany in the 1930s, my friends. But it dates back before the birth of Christ, in excess of 2,000 years ago. And you know, about a month ago, 2 months ago, I received a listing from my friend in Florida that made many, many comments and quotes and statements throughout history, what many well-known people, well-known people in history, the statements they have made about Jews. And I'm not, I could go down that path, and I could give you several hours of it, but frankly, it would become redundant. It would serve no purpose other than to stir up anger and hate and whatever the case may be. But I don't need to do that. And I've chosen not to go on this path, but I've chosen to make these comments because of the crucifixion, continued crucifixion of Mel Gibson. It's kind of like what was done to Mark Furman in the O.J. Simpson trial so many years ago. I don't condone it. But they're making a mountain out of a molehill. And why? To cover up other things that are going on in and around the world right now today that are bigger and bigger and bigger and far more important. But there's this small group, this 3% of the people, and probably not one-tenth of 1% of those people are involved in the What happened? We're on. Sorry for that interruption. We accidentally got cut off. And I thought it could have been intentional. Let me share with you the one statement, the one comment I want to make to wrap up this segment of the program. And hold your calls. I'll let you know when. To reiterate, opposition to the Jews did not begin in Germany, but dated back before the birth of Christ. And I want you to consider, before we go to this break, the words of the Savior, Jesus the Christ, speaking to the Jews in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verse 44, when he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is not truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Need I share any other quote in history than that which comes from the Word, from the Savior himself? The man who threw them out of the temple. The money changers. Today they're known as bankers. You could call them Federal Reserve bankers, international bankers or banksters. And yet they're applying the same trade today that was applied some 2,000, nearly 2,000 years ago, when they were thrown from the temple. No, they are still trying to crucify Mel Gibson for the film The Passion of the Christ. They will do all they can to destroy the brilliant and marvelous career of a man that has gone beyond what Hollywood wants, a man who funded his own film, had one of the greatest opening weekends in 2004 of any film that has ever existed. It still draws massive attention in and around the world. A feat that no one could accomplish but a Mel Gibson. They have to destroy him. But in doing so, they are destroying our freedom of speech, our freedom of thought, and our freedom to agree, to disagree. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Well, you know the bottom's falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks.
The bottom is falling out. I think an awful lot of people in America today have already slipped through the cracks. Jeffrey Bennett on the second half of the Flip Side. And the combination of the reasons for this, I know the program has been called the Robbie Noel Show for some time. Robbie has made a decision. We want to change the name of it to the Flip Side, primarily because there's two of us hosting it. And it's the nature of the beast. For those of you who may have been offended by my tirades and my anger during the first half of this program, good. I hope you were offended. I hope you were offended enough to not fall for the claptrap that the mainstream media and the history books are now cramming down our throats. I'm sorry. I think there's an awful lot of people that have been abused. There's a tremendous amount of control in our media, the medical community. Actually, when I got cut off just a few moments ago, nothing would have made me more suspicious than to believe that maybe there were some out there who did not like my statements and comments. I basically shared with you for the most of the first half hour comments written by other people, notably Pastor Chuck Baldwin, a Baptist, and a Jewish writer in writing in WorldNet Daily Today, Judith Reisman, who is a Jew. And also some comments from a historical perspective that has been placed before me. But I'm not going to share that entire thing. I think we spent the 30 minutes. We got said what had to get said tonight. I'd like to leave it go at that. I know my friend Moishe was going to call in, and I appreciate that. And that was actually at my invitation. I think we're going to sit tight because Republic Trading Group pays for this airtime, and there's jobs that we have to do. Certainly a portion of this program and its purpose is economic commentary and discussion. So allow me to move forward with what I promised Tuesday evening, part two of a little mini seriesette, if you will, called Dark New Day. From the front page of today's Republic Trading Group website, the words from Robert Kiyosaki, who made the statement that I want people to understand that I'm not really betting on gold and silver or precious metals as assets. I am primarily betting against the dollar and the leaders who manage the U.S. economy. Now you know why I buy more gold and silver every time they drop in value in the current economic environment. What smart investor would not gladly spend funny money to buy real money? And now we continue with Dark New Day, Part 2. Let me share with you tonight some of the financial scenarios for the collapse of the U.S. dollar and why paper investments are no good at all, or as Kiyosaki calls them, funny money. By all estimates, the U.S. has no more than 10 years left for any financial viability. The author of the piece says it's not only his view. Many preeminent economists and bankers have already said this, not the least of whom is former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, of whom we spoke the other evening. In fact, he says we may have less than 5 years, and there are many reasons for this timeline, like the approach of a huge economic retraction due to worldwide financial bubbles. And yet we'll not go into detail about the reasons for the coming U.S. economic total collapse. Much of that was discussed the other evening. And yet that's not really the scope of what we're going to attempt to accomplish here for the next 20 minutes or so. But we are going to look at what is coming when the U.S. finally loses the backing of its financiers, the Chinese, the Russians, etc., the Japanese. There's going to come a time very soon when a consensus has developed that the dollar is a mortally wounded currency. You see, the U.S. is so dependent upon foreign financing for its federal and trade deficits that when that financing stops, the federal government will become unable to pay its bills. And the price of most goods that you buy at the store will rise by, at first, double, and then rapidly over 10 times the present prices. And that even goes for everything you buy at Walmart that comes from the foreign world, and to include your weekly grocery purchases as well as gas and heating oil and even electricity. In short, the cost of living in the U.S. will rise by at least 10 times in current constant dollar terms. And if you have not yet paid off your residence and have some savings that can survive a dollar collapse, then you're going to have to work all day merely to eat and be a vagabond migrant worker on top of that. Does that scare you? Frankly, probably not, because, ladies and gentlemen, most of you aren't listening. Now, I don't necessarily mean you, those of you who are listening tonight. Of course, we would have had, you know, 3 times as many people listening if it weren't for other circumstances. If you have not paid off your residence and have savings that can survive a collapse of the dollar, you're going to have to work all day just to eat. You see, in the Great Depression, the times of your parents and grandparents, that precise situation happened to Americans, and that was just 70 years ago. So don't call me a fearmonger for merely retelling the scary details. Because when this happens, the U.S. will be effectively bankrupt. Personally, they already are. But all of this is going to include the government and the people at large as well. The foreign nations and bankers will be asked for emergency assistance with the dollar crisis at hand, and they're going to try to extract incredible concessions by the U.S. government and its people. In all probability, the U.S. federal government will be faced with 2 choices. An outright forfeit of all remaining U.S. assets, which they can attach as collateral for a financial bailout, or to refuse the conditions set for by the foreign and banking establishment for the rescue. And we will have to suffer the consequences of domestic chaos. Gee, maybe by then one of George Bush's daughters will be president. Of course, you see, the U.S. could decide to work things out internally, but that would mean 10 years of great privation of as many foreign and domestic products that you use every day would be so costly that the average man would be starving here. The U.S. economy would have to collapse by in excess of 50%. The federal deficits would skyrocket because tax revenue would also drop by 50%, and federal liabilities would skyrocket as the masses demanded to be fed. We have no Marie Antoinette to say, let them eat cake. That which I've shared with you This scenario is the alternative that the United States will face if it does not make a deal with foreigners now to mitigate the collapse of the dollar. But you see, my friends, we don't have that many friends out there anymore. We have got at least one administration and maybe several others before it that have not made particularly good friends out there in the world. They've done all they can to make enemies, and so long as we continue to support the policies of Israel, we can count out the rest of the Middle East to be our friends. I knew I'd find a way to get that back in this hour. You see, in the outworking of the scenario I've just shared with you, your retirement funds will become hit by a decline in the value of the dollars combined with a massive raise in taxes by the federal and state governments to deal with a financial emergency. In other words, in this scenario, all those years you put money away into your 401ks and your Roth IRAs and your traditional IRAs, if it's all in dollar-denominated assets, paper, it's going to turn out to be the worst possible place to have put your money. Because you waited to withdraw that money so you could have a tax-deferred withdrawal at a lower tax rate when you stopped working. And then you come to find out that emergency tax measures had been implemented in the crisis to deal with the exploding federal and state financial deficits, and you are now facing massive taxes on your retirement nest egg. Of course, in the other case, the U.S. makes massive financial concessions to foreign nations to stabilize the U.S. dollar. That's right. The dollar assets that you have invested in are now handed over as collateral to foreign central banks and bankers, and you are disinherited of your financial claims that you thought your U.S. dollar stocks represented. Wait a minute. What's that little part in the sentence? Our assets are now handed over as collateral to foreign central banks and bankers? Ay, gai vei gavet. Yeah, you get my idea. You see, on top of all of that, you find that the U.S. has made a deal to sell outright all the remaining energy assets on this continent, like our incomparable coal reserves, which are by far the largest in the world. Oh, that's right. Clinton already did that, didn't he? He started it anyway. Of course, you can claim it's all illegal, but you find out that any law can be overridden by the declaration of a state of emergency in the United States by the president. And in that scenario, you'll find that your U.S. stock portfolios are worthless because all the remaining real U.S. assets have already been pledged by a panicking Congress and president to make a deal for a financial bailout by foreign central banks and bankers. I think of that. You see, in the cases of selections 1 and 2, as we've just previously shared, your U.S. dollar-denominated stocks and accounts now become worthless. They're either taxed into oblivion, they're wiped out by a collapse of the dollar, or in case number 2, the dollar is stabilized at the cost of all claims that you have with your assets. Because they've been offered as collateral to foreign central banks and bankers, I think of that. To stabilize the dollar. In either case, you, I, the investor, the saver, were screwed. Let me tell you something. It may not be a good thing to be a saver or an investor in a country that has liabilities the size of ours. In other words, our retirement accounts are at great risks as of this time forward if they are in the traditional U.S. dollar-denominated assets. Now, there might be ways to avert total personal financial collapse. Macroeconomics, gold. Paper financial assets are not anywhere as good as paid off physical assets and precious metals. That's right, it's that simple. That's one of the ways you do it. Begin to convert some of your assets now into something that, 2,000 years ago, about the time that Christ was walking in the Sea of Galilee, an ounce of gold would buy a nice suit of men's clothing. And today it'll do the same thing. Of course, if Hollywood has their way, the story will be written and told another way. Oy vey, gevelt. I'm Moishe, I know you're laughing. because I'm getting my digs in. But the digs need to be gotten. Who are the bankers? Who are the banksters? Who are the international bankers? We've been down that road in the Mask of Demetrios. Warburg and Kuhn and Loebs. Names that I can't even remember. Rothschilds. Red Shields. It is amazing. There's a gentleman out there, and I'm not promoting it because I know a little about it, I've not read it, who has a newsletter entitled The Prudent Squirrel. And in it, he does a lot of discussion about macroeconomics and gold. And one of the reasons he talks about gold is because, in his case, he says it's quite simple. As I've just shared with you, paid off assets cannot be taken by mortgage companies if you've got trouble paying the mortgage. Gold and silver is real cash that can be used to get through either a dollar collapse or a Great Depression. You can live in the paid off real assets. You can have gold bullion to pay the essential bills like property taxes and food and utilities. Of course, you don't want to run around flashing it, advertising you've got it. You don't want to take some of those gold coins and go out and buy yourself a brand new oop canoe. That's Cadillac to some of you. And flash and let the neighbors know that you're living high on the hog because they'll know something's up and you're going to get hit on the head. You know, keep an old, you know, 82 Pontiac in the garage. Keep it running real well. Or an old GMC pickup truck or a Ford or something. Don't make it shiny. Don't try to restore it. Don't make it look brand new. Make sure it runs real well. And when things start to get rough, don't drive the flashy car. Drive the old GMC pickup. And by the way, don't wear a Armani suit when you're doing it, okay? Like the guy over in Scottsdale does. Of course, he doesn't drive the GMC pickup either. Gold and silver is real cash that can be used to get through either a dollar collapse or a Great Depression. History has proven it. And yet some people don't get it. They strictly look at it as a speculative investment. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't deny speculation is a big word here. Speculation that I'm going to make a lot of money? Now, that's not bad. But at what cost? What's the money going to be worth that you've made once you cash it in? Because if you get gold at $800, $900, $1,000, and $2,000 an ounce, which we discussed Tuesday evening, and if you missed the program, go back into the archives of RBNLive.com, go to the Robbie Noel Show, click on the archives for this past Tuesday evening, which would have been August the 1st. And listen to that consultation. Listen to the beliefs and the feelings of a man who's been in coins for most of his life. Not me, although I have been. It's amazing. People don't get it. So if gold goes to $2,000 an ounce, it ain't because gold is worth $2,000 an ounce. It's because the dollar ain't worth nothing. Nothing. Zip. Nada. So what do you do? Yeah, there's lots of strategies. There's things you can do. We hope that you'll pick up the phone and make a decision to talk with Robbie Noel or myself at Republic Trading Group. Let us guide you. Let us help you revamp your portfolio, so to speak. I hate that word. I hate that word, portfolio. Because I know of companies out there that hawk horribly overpriced gold and silver coins, and their idea of the word portfolios to make it sound like they're a legitimate Wall Street firm, and they are not. That's a nice way to kind of talk up to you, make you feel important, make you feel big, get you to buy overpriced, expensive, rare coins. You know, they're overpriced all right, and they're expensive all right, but they're not necessarily rare. And that leads me to another issue. I've spoken to a good number of you over the year, nearly a year that I've been with Republic Trading Group, who, and some of you have taken advantage of it. over the past 5, 6 years, in some cases 10 years, many of you did get talked into buying some fairly expensive certified alleged rare coins. Most of them are pretty common denominators. Gold is at one time nearly tripled in value from its low, and yet most of the people that bought those overpriced so-called rarities will be very lucky to break even. I had a gentleman call the other day who's a good friend of the network, and we did a transaction, comfortable size one. He said, "Jeff, my concern is the safety and security of my family." He said, "I've been down that road. I bought some of those expensive certified gold pieces some years ago from one of your competitors. And I know who it is, but I'm not going to mention it because it serves no purpose. I know the quality of the coins he bought. And they are exquisite, beautiful, beautiful coins. But right now, because most of them are, some of them are not even an eighth or a quarter of an ounce of gold content, and he's got some pretty heavy money into it, I'd say let's get the heavy money out of it and let's convert it and get as much barterable, tradable, spendable, safety gold in our hands. That, to me, is one of the best strategies you can do. If you've gone out there and spent a lot of money buying MS-65 and 66, St. Gaudens and Liberties and things of that nature, gorgeous coins, but most of the Liberties are 1904s, some of them 1899. Most of the St. Gaudens are 24s and 27s. Most of you bought 61s and 2s and 3s and 4s and 5s, and a few of you even have certified MS-66s. Gee, an MS-61 and an MS-66 got the exact same amount of gold in it, and yet one of them costs, you know, maybe $750, $800. The other one is probably $6,000 or $7,000. I'm just throwing darts here because there is that kind of disparity in the value of higher grades. But when push comes to shove and the kind of economic collapse that comes along that our author is talking about here, nobody is going to care that you've got an MS-60-nothing. How much gold is in it? Let me touch it. Let me feel it. Let me bite it. A little rough for you tonight? It's the facts of life, ladies and gentlemen. These are the reasons you may want to sit down and take a very good look at your holdings. If you're not holding things like British sovereigns, the marvelous modern American quarter-ounce gold pieces we talked about the other night that are still less expensive than sovereigns, still less expensive than American Eagle gold coins. The best buy out there is modern American commemorative issue coins. They ain't rare. They ain't never going to be rare, baby. But it's a great way to buy gold. You can give Robbie and I a call, 1-800-691-7898. Yeah, great stuff. We'll adjust the price due to market conditions. Gold's down a couple of dollars today from where it was when we talked Tuesday. We'll adjust the price of these. You just give us a call. We'll work with you. But if you've got a lot of those overpriced certified pieces, you know what? Take the loss. Convert it. Get as much gold content in exchange now while you can. And Robbie and I'll be glad to help you with that. But you'll need to call Republic Trading Group, 1-800-691-7898. Be prepared to sit down and discuss with us what your holdings are, what your portfolio is. We're not here to dig. We're not here to take. In fact, you don't even have to feel obligated to do the deal once we've given you the recommendations that you can take. But you know what? You can't make a decision unless you've got the information at hand. You've got a right to have your options displayed before you. And so if you went out and bought a bunch of those certified commemorative coins, gold pieces, and old high-grade mint state certified St. Gaudens and Liberties, call us. We will shop to get you the most money we can for those, and we will turn it and convert it into the most amount of gold we can. You know, some years ago I had a good friend who called me one day. He sent me five MS-61 and a mixture of five MS-61 and 62 Liberties and St. Gaudens. That's less than 5 ounces of gold total. And by the time I replaced it, he had in excess of 2 ounces more of net gold content in his hand. Which one's going to do you the most amount of good? Because when the doo-doo hits the da-da, nobody's going to care about your rare art, your rare coins, or your 1957 Chevy. They're going to want to steal it. And if you're hungry enough, you're going to have to let it go. And we want to help you prevent that. Republic Trading Group is here to assist you, to guide you. Your choosing to do your trading and your business with Republic Trading Group is amongst the reasons this program can be here. And Frank Whalen, Rick Adams will be with us in just a few minutes. So many of the other great programs. I had an opportunity tonight for the first time in a long time to listen to Michael Piper Collins. What a worthwhile program. Many, many others that are here. So everyone benefits. You benefit because you're supporting this network. You can continue to tune into the broadcasters that you like. You can help the continue to make sure this network stays solid and grows and moves forward and reaches out to larger and larger numbers of people. You benefit because you're putting some gold and silver in your hands. You're putting real money in your hands. And you know what? The worst thing that can happen is if none of this comes to pass, if they find a way to straighten it all out and sort it all out, well, my goodness, the dollar will buy something of real value again. That ain't bad. It's been an interesting hour. Why, they geweld. If you're interested in some of the other programs I've done along the lines of the first half an hour, some of our comments about the history of the chosen people, so to speak, I invite you to visit the Federal Observer. The Federal Observer is back up and operational. The chat room is not open yet. Take a look at our catalog and go under the heading. Once you get into the catalog, look at the listing under our heading, What Price Israel? What Price Israel? What is it costing us in dollars, in lives, and so many other ways that I don't even want to discuss tonight? www.federalobserver.com, any of those series that you may choose to acquire. Currently, none of them are available in audio cassette, only on compact disc. If you're interested and want to give me a call, you know where to find me. There's numbers on the website. I will donate 50% of the net profits on those tapes right back to RBN. Hey, the music says it's time for me to go. Republic Trading Group, 1-800-691-7898. Thanks for being with me this week. On behalf of Republic Broadcasting Network, Robbie Noel and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.